Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Today we're going to talk about how lease options and subject to work. And this is a very powerful strategy, and I heard a lot of requests lately from students about knowing more about these two strategies, lease options and subject to, because I think the beauty of it is that these two strategies, you can basically control real estate without owning it. And this is very powerful, I'm sure you agree. So we're going to talk what they are, the differences between them, and how they can benefit you as an investor. So first of all, what's a lease option? Well, a lease option is basically, to me, is a glorified lease agreement. Basically, you can control real estate by signing a lease with the original owner with the option to buy at a certain time, established time in the future. So you can see that this is a, as I said, a glorified lease agreement. Now, what is a subject to? Subject to is different in the way that you go ahead and basically the title gets transferred to you, and but the original mortgage stays in place, right? So you get the title of the property, so you get the ownership of the property as much as on paper, but the mortgage, that's the existing mortgage, stays in place. So one of the things I want to mention is that Rockefeller even said, control everything, own nothing. And we always start with the premises that we have to actually buy something in order to sell it and make money. Well, that's not true, as we're going to see today. You can do this without buying it, and therefore you limit your risk, you limit your exposure, but you can still profit greatly from this particular strategy. So a lease option is a strategy that gives an investor the right to lease a home and also the right to purchase the home during or before the end of the lease period, okay? So that's what it is. So back in the 90s, I remember, I was using more contract for deeds or land trust. So this is kind of along those lines, you know. You're not really taking the title of the property per se, but you're controlling the property and you're going to do something with it at a certain time in the future. And then we're going to see here in a minute that there are different type of lease options. There's the lease options with a guarantee that I don't suggest you use that one when you try to control real estate. Now, as far as the subject to, as I said, it's actually started on the East Coast a few years ago because people, when we had a housing crisis, and people wanted to get real estate, and people wanted to get out of real estate to sell it, but maybe they didn't want to do a short sale, and they were in good standing. Well, they will let somebody else take over their mortgage payment. So basically, you gain the title to a property, but you don't have to get a mortgage on the property because, yes, you just take over the existing mortgage that's in place. Now, the seller keeps the mortgage in his own name, but it is the property to the investor, okay? So basically, that's why it's called subject to. Subject to, the existing mortgage stays in place. Now, it's now as far as these techniques, you kind of use them in an interim time, okay? You're not going to use them for flipping a property, although you can do that too, but, you know, that's probably more, flipping a property to me is anything that you flip in 6 months or less. So you don't really use them for that aspect of it. You control the property usually 1, 3, sometimes 5 years. Now, you don't really want to abuse it, especially when you get into a subject to situation where there is another mortgage in place. So, you know, an interim time is 1 to 3 years. Now, you can go as much as 5 years, I would suggest, on a subject to. And as I said, you can also use them to flip property. There is no rule that says you can't flip them. However, as I said, just be very careful because, as I said, you control the property. You don't actually own them. So there are so many things that can happen in the interim. What if the owner passes away? What if there's something that happens to you. So, you know, you just have to keep those things in mind. As I said, use these techniques very carefully. Now, you know, subject to me, they were very powerful when I was running across possible short sales. Okay, so as I was out there looking for pre-foreclosures, property that were going to have a foreclosure date, and I would have come across a homeowner that, for example, didn't want to go really into a short sale because they had a good credit. Also, they were upside down on their mortgage, or maybe even not upside down on their mortgage. Wanted to get out of the house. They had to relocate, loss of a job, whatever the reason was. But they didn't want to go through a short sale. They didn't want to go through a foreclosure. So those are perfect situations that you can take over the mortgage on the property, okay? Because basically the limited options, they will lease the property if they have to, although a lot of them prefer not to because obviously the quality of the tenants might not be as good as the quality of somebody that has more ownership interest into the property. So that's why they're looking for people to take over the mortgage instead. And we're going to talk about in a minute how you're going to find these particular homeowners. Okay, so how lease options work? Well, you find the seller, okay? The seller options the property to the investor who may buy, that's you, and you, in turn, can turn and give an option to a buyer who also may buy, okay? So these are called sandwich lease options, which is the most standard lease option agreement. Now, a variation of the sandwich lease is the lease purchase, okay? So while a lease option gives the investor the right to purchase real estate, the lease purchase guarantees that he or she will purchase the property, and obviously during a certain time period. Now, I would not use lease purchase as much when you sell the property because they're hard to enforce. If your buyer defaults, for example, you have to sue him for non-performance in order to get him to buy the home. And it can become very costly and very time-consuming. So, therefore, use lease purchases mostly when you buy the property, but not when you sell it, you turn around and sell it, okay? Also, when you find this potential buyer that can do either a lease purchase or a regular lease option, just make sure they're in a position that they can cash you out in the future, okay? So don't do lease options for potential buyers who have no way of ever being able to get a mortgage, okay? That's definitely a no-no. So, you know, just set yourself up that 2-3 years down the road, you can cash out of this deal. So be very careful how you're going to go ahead and flip the property, who you're going to flip it to. So, you know, as I said, that with the lease purchase, the seller leases to sell to you. And you have the option that you might buy, okay? You're not tied to it. And then you're going to go ahead and option it to a buyer who may buy, okay? So that's why you said that's how it works. So that's why it's called a sandwich lease, because you're sandwiched in between. Now, on subject to deals, okay? Standard subject to. How subject to work? Okay, so the seller gives the title to you, the investor. Now you own the property. And you lease option the property to a buyer who may buy the property, okay? Now, one of the things I want to make sure you're clear about on the subject two is that obviously these are very important that you do due diligence, that you check the title before you take over this property. Because let's face it, any problems on the title are going to become your problems once the property gets deeded to you. So, you know, you need to make sure you do title work, you get title insurance, so that you are protected from the fact that you are taking over this property, okay? So, you know, at this point, yes, it's more of an ownership involvement than a lease option, because as I said, the title actually does pass to you. So, you know, and let me give you some examples here. As I said, lease options, you basically you go out there and find a landlord, for example, that wants to get out of the property and he wants to rent anyway. So those are the easiest one. If you find somebody that wants to rent a house or wants to rent a condo, an apartment, you go talk to them and say, you know, I would like to do a lease option. So that's the situation. So landlords, people that are already in a position to rent out the property are probably the ones easier to talk to about giving you a lease option. You can also put ads, for example, on Craigslist and say, for example, looking for homes in a certain area on long-term lease. Okay, and just put your phone number. So again, you know, you're looking for landlords. These are the easiest ones to do the lease option. Now, if you are an investor who's out there looking for property that are going in foreclosure, for example, or looking for owners that want to relocate and maybe they're upside down on the mortgage, I would say that's another good way to find property that could be lease options or subject to. Now, keep this in mind that when you buy a property on a lease option or subject to, you are basically promising to buy the property at a future date. So let's say that if you sign the contract today and you're telling the owner, I'm going to cash you out on this property 2-3 years from now, right? So if the owner is upside down a little bit on the mortgage, so let's say you find an owner that has, you know, he has made good, but he's in a situation where he has to relocate. He doesn't want to do a short sale. He's paid me 10 to 20% upside down on the mortgage. And that's the key here, okay? 10 to 20%. Don't go into something that's too much upside down on their mortgage. 10 to 20% would be very good. Today, especially with the housing market going up rapidly as it is, you in certain area, you can count on that 2-3 years down the road, this 10% has accrued. So the mortgage will be basically taken care of. So today, let's say it's 2014, you find this property that is the mortgage on this property is $120,000, okay? But the fact is that right now, as of today, he cannot get more than $100,000 on the property. So therefore, what you do is you make a promise that you would give him or you pay off the mortgage in 3 years at $120,000. And what that will do is basically you go ahead and write a contract that you're going to cash it out in 2016 and 17 for 120. Now, he's happy because he doesn't have to worry about doing a short sale or discounting his mortgage. He can walk away with the property. You take over the property. Now, what do you do? Okay, so let's say you put the subject to. Okay, well, first of all, like I said earlier, you want to do your due diligence, make sure there is no big problems on title for you to have to deal with, because obviously as the title passes to you, all the responsibility of the property passes to you as well, correct? So what you do now, you go out there and find somebody to sell it on a lease option, okay? So you acquire the property you're subject to, you got a title in your name, you keep making the mortgage payment on the property that are the mortgage of the homeowner. Now you go out there and sell it on a lease option to somebody. Now, you do collect from this tenant/buyer a deposit, okay? It could be, you know, depending on the property, of course, could be anywhere from $2,500 to $10,000. But you want to collect a considerable deposit, not $500 or so like you would want a lease, because you want them to have some money into it, some skin in the game. So let's say you collect $5,000. Okay, so that's your money up front for the property. Okay. Now my suggestion is that obviously you save at least half of this money for incidentals and problems that can come with the property. Some of the money you can keep for yourself. But the fact is you want to be really savvy about what you're going to do with this money. So now you collect, let's say, $5,000 up front. Now you have made an agreement, remember, with the original owner to buy the property in 2017, let's say for $120,000. Now you go out and make an agreement with this potential buyer, a tenant, that is, you're going to sell it to him for $130,000. Now, keep in mind, okay, there are a couple of things here to keep in mind. First of all, 2-3 years down the road, you keep making the mortgage payment, you're going to build equity into the property. So obviously, your principal is going to go down. Second of all, you're dealing with tenants, buyers who might not have another choice. Granted, you know, 130 from today's standards might be a little stretching it, but of course you have to educate them about what's going on in the market, in the area. They might even get a good deal at 130 because the property might be worth even more in 2017. But the fact is, they really have not much choice. If they want to own a home, if they want to have the pride of ownership, if they want to get into a place where, you know, they can build something instead of throwing money in rent, they really have not much of a choice. So most of them would be very happy to do so because they might be in a transition phase. They might be in a phase where the credit is not that good right now, but they're cleaning it up. They just got a job. They just relocated. So they can't go out there and get a standard mortgage, but that's where you come into place. You know, you're more of a landlord. You're actually given an option of home ownership. Now, if they don't perform 3 years down the road, if they don't go ahead and buy the property, obviously they lose their $5,000. That's why you do want to get a considerable deposit up front, okay? Because, you know, that money is basically kind of a promise for them that they're going to try to do their best to close on the deal down the road. Now, you as, you know, so you become an owner. Now, they're going to pay the taxes on the property. They're going to pay insurance on the property. You know, they're going to do basically as homeowners do. So you act like the bank in a way. But as I said, you make a payment. So let's say that your payment every month is $800. Obviously, you want to collect from them more than that. So let's say $1,000. So now you make money from the cash flow every month as well. So you make money up front. You make money from the cash flow every month, plus you make money on the back end as well. So it has to be, though, a win-win situation for everybody. Well, I would say win-win-win three times. It has to be win for the seller who sold you the property. It has to be a win situation for you as the investor. And obviously, it has to be a win situation for the tenant buyer at the end. So as I said, you know, very important you understand how you're playing here with the future value, okay? So, like I said, you projected in the future. You project in the future for the owner that you buy the property to, because a lot of these properties that where you're going to be able to do this with is, as again, is with owners. They have to be motivated. Why would they give up the title of the property to investors? Why would they put themselves in a situation, right? Because they have to be motivated. Their credit is good. They want to relocate to another place. They want to buy another property. They don't want to ruin their credit. So that kind of is the only option to just move on. So that's the motivation. The buyer-tenant motivation is that they're cleaning up their credit. They know they can buy. Maybe they can cash you out even sooner than 3 years. But right now, they have no other choices unless they want to rent. Okay. So to understand the motivation behind all this party for you as an investor is going to be fundamental. So you, so kind of summarizing this, you're going to make money on the front end, which is the earnest money from the tenant buyer. You're going to make money on the back end sale. You're going to make money from the cash flow every month, okay, the surplus over the mortgage payment. So if you combine all these, you can see that you are making quite a bit of money and you had nothing to really do with this by just taking over and controlling the property. Okay, and it really doesn't take much. The only thing I suggest if you do subject to that you do title search and you do get title insurance, which, by the way, title companies that work with investors can and will give title insurance on subject to. Okay, so because obviously the property passes to you. Now, you might want to wonder, some of you, is the due on sale clause, right? Because you say, okay, fine, sounds really good, but what if the bank recalls the loan or due on sale? Well, the fact is, yes, there is. They put a clause into their mortgage documents when the seller, when the owner buys the property. However, you know, if somebody, they don't really care where the payments come from as long as the payments are made. I never saw somebody or a bank recalling a loan just because, you know, the payments were not made. because the title got transferred. Now think about it. A lot of times, even individuals buy properties because they have to secure, right? They have to guarantee the loan in their name, but then they transfer the properties to an LLC, right? So that's the same thing, basically. So they buy the property under, you know, John Smith, but then they transfer it to Smith Properties LLC. So that's the same thing. So would the bank recall those loans just because they transfer to an LLC or a business entity? No, they don't do that. Again, you know, you make the payment. Now, obviously, you have the responsibility of making the payments because the fact is, if the property gets foreclosed, okay, they're going to go after the owner, whoever's on the mortgage. No, they're not going to go after you. Even if you're on title, they're going to go after the owner. So just keep in mind that you are responsible for the owner. Now, one of the things that I also suggest, and a lot of the owners have done this, is that they start with a lease option, and then they escalate it to a subject two. So, and if you run across an owner, they might be reluctant in giving up the title of the property. They don't know much about you, and you're new in the business. So they say, you know what, I don't know about that. Well, why don't you propose to them that you're going to do a lease option for 6 months, a year, and then escalate it to a subject two, okay? Now, obviously, you want to put that in the contract so that everybody's on the same page, so that they can see that you make payments every month, that you take care of the property, and therefore then you escalate it to a subject two. So that's also a very good way to do this and have this type of strategy. If you run across an owner that maybe is a little hesitant in giving up the title of the property. Okay, so you can kind of see here how powerful these techniques are. And as I said, you get basically three paydays using this option fee from the buyer. Okay, you get a monthly cash flow and you get a back end, which is the difference between what you're paying for the home and what you sell it for, keeping in mind that you are basically paying down the principal over the next 2-3 years. Okay, so now I want to kind of give you briefly steps. So we got the whole picture now of how these techniques work. Okay, so now let's go through the steps here on buying properties, on lease options, and subject to. First of all, you want to find the motivated sellers. Okay, and again, these are people that you might want to put an ad on Craigslist. You might want to look at people going into some type of distress situations, foreclosures, also your real estate agents, do a search on the MLS, that type of thing where people also interested, landlords that are interested in renting out properties, you ask them if they can rent out for a long term and give a lease option instead. So, you know, that's how you find the sellers, and you said the more motivated, the better. Okay, so then you choose lease options or subject to, and there are different also other things to take in consideration which ones to use. But basically, try to get the subject to lease option, use it as a step up to a subject to. Now, you evaluate the profitability of the deal. Obviously, you want to make sure that the numbers work. You want to make sure that the property is, especially if it's upside down on the mortgage a little bit, that it's in an area where there's going to be good appreciation potential. You want to negotiate the deal with the owner first, and then you go out there and locate the buyer. You also obviously need to get the paperwork ready. You need to know what type of paperwork, but there is some paperwork involved. And as I said, the lease options to me is a glorified, basically, lease agreement. And then, and that's when you structure the deal. Once you get the deal, you control the deal, you go ahead and turn around and find a tenant / buyer for the property, collect a deposit, make sure that your payments are more than what you pay to the original owner. Also, if you can get the buyer tenant to go ahead and pay the taxes, insurance on the property, that's less responsibility. Also, make sure they understand that they're responsible for any maintenance on the property. And then you make an agreement and make sure they put down considerable deposit so that they have a vested interest into the property. So as I said, the concept is pretty easy. I used to work with contract for these back in the 90s. I did a lot of those, stepping up for lease options. I did subject twos very, very recently, especially with people that had to relocate or were in a situation where they didn't want to ruin their credit. So these are very powerful techniques, and as I said, by controlling the property and profiting without putting any of your money or credit on the line. Okay. I have created an information page, and I actually have created a product to help you understand more and give you all the paperwork, all the step-by-steps. The product is less than $100, so it's very inexpensive. It's an introductory price, but you can go and check it out at lauralamieri.com/control-RE for real estate. Again, it's lauralamieri.com/control-RE. And I have also a blog at lauralamieri.com. It has a ton of information on other things as well. I'm all for always using creative financing techniques. And next week I'm going to talk about where is the private money. So make sure you bookmark on 12 noon Central Time, where is the money, where's the private money for real estate investing. So we're going to talk about that next week. So I kind of focused on the strategy today. Hopefully kind of opened up the possibility, got you thinking in the right direction. And as I said, you know, just please go to lauralamieri.com, check my blog out, check my information page on this particular product, which is lauralamieri.com/control-RE. And I'm sure you'll find that there's, you know, I go into the whole depth. Also, I go into some advanced concepts and strategies on how to use this technique powerfully. Because remember, you can do residential property, you can do commercial property, you can do land, you can wholesale these properties, you can hold them for passive income, and you're not putting anything out. You're just making money on the front and back end. It's beautiful, right? Okay, great. Thanks for listening today, and I will see you next week. Thank you.